Hi, welcome to one of our Hotel Tech Chats. In this discussion, we're joined by the A-team, Alexander and Alexandra of Atomize, one of our expert partners. In this discussion, we look at price optimization. What is it, why do it, and how to do it? We explore the factors influencing price optimization, the number of calculations involved, why you can't optimize without some form of technology, and resistance to investing, ultimately leaving revenue on the table. We get the chance to look at the Atomize solution, understand price recommendations, the autopilot option, and we see how the user is always in control. Appreciate a demo can be hard to understand on a podcast, but hopefully we explain some of the core features, and you can watch the full interview and demo on our YouTube channel. Really hope you enjoy the conversation. Let's get started. Hi, Alexander. Hi, Alexandra. This is going to be fun with Alexandra and Alexandra, isn't it? I'm going to have to, call you A1 and A2, and you can decide. Yeah, exactly. You can decide who's who.
We're here.
The A team is fine also.
Hey, that works. I like the A team. We'll go with that. Well, brilliant. Thanks for joining us today on one of our kind of our hotel tech chats, where we're going to look at a particular topic that is often discussed in the industry. But then what we're also going to do is we're going to sort of pivot across a little bit later into this conversation and look at your particular solution and how it kind of addresses the topic that we're looking at. So for the purpose of today's conversation, it's price optimization. And we're going to be exploring what is it, why should we be doing it, and then we'll get into the how do we actually do it. So, passing over to you guys, you're the experts. You live and breathe this day in, day out. Don't mind which one of you takes the question to start it off, but price optimization, what is it?
Ladies first, Alex.
Oh, I was waiting for that. Well, so, I mean, simply put, I would say that price optimization is basically the process of finding the optimal price point for a product or service in order to maximize revenue or profitability. I mean, that basically is the basic. Very simple definition. It's so easy. But I mean, usually it also includes some type of mathematical analysis of data, right? So different types of market data, consumer data that has an effect on the price. Mm-hmm. To be able to kind of find that optimal price point. And the simplest way, I mean, maybe not so effective, but what we see in the hotel space is basically doing those calculations in your Excel spreadsheet as a revenue manager. I would say that is still, you know, the daily life of most revenue managers, unfortunately. Yeah.
I can just add to what Alex said there as well, is that, I mean, the optimal price of a product or service, as you said, at any given time, that also means that to find that optimal price, in our mind, it requires to do that in real time, because, I mean, in essence, you cannot find an optimal price point if it's not in real time. That's period. Yeah. That's. And that is what our DNA is all about. It needs to take place in real time. That's why we are against reporting as a foundation for setting prices. Because as soon as you provide that report, screenshot or whatever, send it to a colleague and looking at it, it's getting obsolete by the minute, by the mm-hmm. second even. Mm-hmm. So that's very essential sort of part of the price optimization definition.
No, that makes sense. And this is, and you're thinking about it, I mean, there are a multitude of different types of properties, hotels, the way hotels operate. Some are more sophisticated, some are less sophisticated. So we're asking a very broad question that could be answered in very different ways depending on who you're actually talking to. But I guess in some instances, there are some hotels which would just set a price for a particular period and maybe not even change that price, and that is just set. So I mean, again, what you're talking about here from a price optimization point of view, this is not here is a price, set it. It is looking at any given day, any given week, any given of any given month as well, and that is continually changing based on what you were saying, Alexandra, that it's a dynamic. And so to your point, Alexandra, if someone's sitting there with an Excel spreadsheet, and we'll kind of touch on that in a moment as well. But you know, it just boggles me. I mean, I've understood that right, isn't it? I mean, we're looking here at 365 days out. We're looking at what is the best price on any given day at any given point. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah. And we can even go further out than 365 days if needed.
Okay. If you need to.
And then, I think it's worth mentioning that the reason for it that it is like this, that we, I mean, there's been an evolution going on. So, Hotelier started with Excel spreadsheet. And the first step in the revenue management evolution was that, can you transfer my Excel spreadsheet to become digital so I don't need to keep them in Excel?
Yeah, yeah.
And there came in the reports, right? So, but that still was very obsolete data. And now we are moving into the next tier in that evolution where the reports they're not good enough. Because as a foundation for pricing, because you need to be in real time. So, and this is, we can clearly see now, it's moving quite fast.
No, that makes sense.
The landscape has been obviously very more complex now than it was just 5 years ago, and more so than 10 years ago.
And Alexandra, you touched on some elements there. I mean, when you are talking about factors that influence price optimization, if we're saying, okay, here is a price, but what is the best price on any given day looking out? That's influenced by numerous elements. Yeah. So what are some of those factors that are influencing or have a direct impact on whether that price is optimized or not?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's depending on which industry, I guess, you work in, you work with price optimization, it could be different kind of data pillars. But if we look into our industry, I mean, I would primarily talk about market data and market search data. Mm-hmm. Particularly that kind of data like search pressure data from the OTAs. That can typically reveal booking intentions. So then you can be, I mean, if you can utilize that type of data in your pricing optimization, you can be much more proactive with your pricing because you can kind of foresee that the demand is probably increasing or on certain dates or you know, in certain regions. And if you can utilize that, then you can be, one step ahead of your competition if they don't have access to that kind of data. So, I mean, and we have been speaking more about forward-looking data. You can call it, market search data, future demand data. It has many names.
Many different terms.
Exactly. So, I mean, we talk about more about that, and we have been focusing more on that, especially since the pandemic, since the historic data, and to be able to kind of decide your price points, based or influenced by historic data. That's a challenge, right, to do now, because the latest 2 years is kind of, it's just not valid data that we can use. Yes, absolutely. I would say that's one of the data pillars we look at, the market intelligence data.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
There are, in total, there are primarily three pillars we are using. The historical data, when it is historical data, which is usually find in the PMS, the reservation history and the cancellation history and so on, by room type. But then we have the second bucket or pillar is the what's happening in the current window, right? Now, which means that if you have a demand burst right now, or reservation burst in your hotel, which is not in your historical data, then you want to adjustments based on this. But also in that current window, you also have the competitive rates landscape, because hotels tend to have competitors.
Yeah.
And even if it's, you should never follow the comp set, but they definitely can give an indicator of many things, other things like price sensitivity, what is sort of if your competitors have sold out, but you are the only one left with inventory, for instance, in your, I mean, that's very important information, but it is happening right now in the current window. And then we have a third pillar, which Alexandra mentioned nicely here, which is the forward-looking data. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to sort of capture the whole umbrella of data. And then altogether, what's very essential here is also what Alexandra touched upon, is that you need to have what we call dynamic weight balancing of these data sources. Mm-hmm. So which means that if historical data is not in line with what happens currently in the current window, or is represented by the forward-looking data, then automatically in real time, that data for that day or week or season or whatever it is disqualified. And then more weight is put into what Alexandra mentioned, the forward-looking data and the current window. But then you have those scenarios where you are actually starting to build up now historical data now coming out from COVID,
yeah,
with only 2 to 3 weeks of data, some months. And you can see that the current sort of performance is in line with actually what has happened in the short-term historical window,
right.
Then all of a sudden that is making a more influence,
yeah,
on what to expect in the future if they are in line with each other.
Yeah.
So this is very important to do also in real time, that real time dynamic weight
adjusting
balancing.
The weight of that. Yeah, no, that makes
exactly
sense.
Yeah.
So typical hotels that you're dealing with, okay, as we say, there are many surveys out there that say, and I maybe want to separate out slightly if I can for the purpose of this, a fully fledged RMS system with all the whistles and bells and reports and structures. And, you know, we know that there have been a number of players in the market for a number of years that have those systems. And then we have a system which is more targeted, as yours is, around the AI, the dynamic, the pricing, and the pricing optimization piece. So I can understand why for some properties, a fully fledged RMS system may not necessarily, maybe over-engineered or overkill for some of them. But a pricing system, and we'll come on to that a little bit later, would seem to be, based on what you've just talking about here, a sensible thing to be considering. Because back to your point, Alexander, if you are still seeing a large number of hotels either are using an Excel spreadsheet, they may have a dedicated revenue professional, they may actually be splitting that role. You know, we all hear about the staffing crisis and people laying off and people recruiting. You may not necessarily have a dedicated revenue manager at the moment as well. I mean, if you are trying to just set a price, that is pretty straightforward to do. Because, I mean, what, you might have 5-6 different room types. You set a price, that price stays for the period. If you actually want to get into price optimization, and you're talking about these different data pillars that are influencing, how on earth can you actually price optimize manually? I don't get it.
I think, yeah, it's interesting, but I think we need to go back to where we started off this call. What price optimization is all about. And it's about finding the optimal price for any product or service at any given time in real time. So in essence, it means that to do it manually, it's not possible, because to do it in real time, it's not humanly possible. Because if we just take the calculation, a simple calculation, if you have 5 room types that you need to price for 1 year out, mm-hmm, that's 5 times 365, whatever that is, and then you do that now. What happens in 5 minutes? You need to do that once again, right? But actually, you need to do it in real time, every second. And every day of, every 24 hour, you have 86,400, you know, seconds. So you need to take those five room types, 3 times 365, and you need to do it 86,400 times per day to do that assessment. That adds up to, in my head, to 157 million price assessments per day.
I worked out similar calculation, that you're looking at a couple of million, if you were doing it per minute. You know, it's like, and crazy.
And the amazing thing is, for those 157 million price assessments per day you need to do for your hotel with five room types, if you're going to do that for, you need to consider, you know, what's my pacing? What's my competitor's pricing right now for each and every room type? What is the forward-looking data? Is there search pressure on the OTAs, or did it change now? And, oh, by the way, how should I consider what happened last season or at this point in time of day? And so on. And you do that for every of those 157 million price assessments.
And you just explaining that was 30 seconds. So we've already wiped out a few hundred thousand decisions that we should have been making.
You can imagine how obsolete the data becomes. Your analysis becomes obsolete by the second.
Yeah.
Right. So it's the answer would be it's impossible to do it manually.
So
some kind of superwoman or superman.
Yeah. So, I mean, that is the reality. If we cut to the chase, you know, when I was looking at conversations, bit of research, putting this together, understanding it, I thought it just, if anyone says they are price optimizing in the truest sense, I could not see how they could physically be doing it without a piece of technology. Mm-hmm. And so trying to understand, you know, by definition, if I'm trying to optimize my price, it's because I'm trying to make sure I'm getting the most available revenue at any particular time, which is what I think I should be doing as the general manager of the hotel. You know, I've got my team that are meant to be doing that. So if I'm trying to optimize my price and I can't do it because I don't have a technology piece, then we're still sitting there with over 50% maybe of hotels that don't have some type of solution. What's the reluctance? Where's the resistance?
I feel, to start with, I feel very sorry for those hotels that cannot. I mean, regardless if it's Atomize or some other vendor, those that can't tap into this new technology, I feel sorry for those, because either they sit there and they feel sorry for themselves as well, or they are not even aware that we feel sorry for them.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the worst, that they are not aware. They are living in a different era. And that's terrifying for some respect. I mean, it's terrifying in a way.
Are there any particular areas? I mean, Alexandra, any particular areas that you just feel there are some, there's just some inherent resistance in there, maybe to a technology piece or?
Well, I think it's a little bit like Alexander says. I mean, we see that in our daily dialogues. I would say around, you know, 50% of every hotelier that we speak to, they are sitting on a legacy system, or legacy property management system in many cases, which also makes them, you know, they are not, like, third-party applications and third-party solutions are not available to them. Mm-hmm. So the only way, you know, they could actually expand their tech stack or invest in their tech stack in these, like, really smart solutions is that they need to change their foundation, the core, the PMS. Yeah. I mean, that's basically it. So, but we are, I mean, to add to that, we are seeing a trend, and it's really have been accelerating the latest, basically since we come out of this pandemic, I would say, because I think that more and more hoteliers, they have had time. I mean, if not, they've had time to reflect.
Yeah,
I think many of them realize that, you know, this is the only way we can go is to connect to a system where they can actually invest in their tech stack, to work smarter, to work more efficiently, to automate more, because they have a huge need for it. So we are actually, in our dialogues, we actually ask all of the requests coming in to us. We always ask them, you know, which PMS are they sitting on, and to kind of see if we can connect. And then we all also ask them, you know, near time, are they planning strategically to invest in their tech stack? And 95% of all requests we get, if they're not sitting on the right PMS, you know, they are, if they're sitting on a legacy PMS, they are considering to change.
Right.
95% of all requests, and 50% of all requests we get, they are sitting on a legacy PMS and they are considering to change. So there is a trend, there is something happening, and that's different from what we have seen, I would say, before, you know, before 2020.
Yeah. So the integration piece naturally is going to be a challenge. Is there anything, you said it there, Alexandra, a bit like they're living in a different world. Are there some people that are still, you know, we use automated cars as an example, you know, would I really trust that I'm going to let a system do it all. Do you ever get a sense that there are people that just feel, I quite like knowing that someone's in control of it, or I don't know if I want to hand it all over? Is there an element of that at all?
Yeah, I can just comment. I mean, if we just look at how things have evolved from our end, I mean, before the pandemic, I would say 6 months before the pandemic, we had less than 5%, I think, close to 10%, maybe it was, on automation. Mm-hmm. Now that is above 50% of all our clients. Mm-hmm. And if we look at new clients today, I mean, in back in the days, it took, you know, more than such a small piece that went on for automation. But that has increased that ratio. So now we have more than 50% is on full automation. And, almost 10% of those that we get on board today get a full automation from day one. From day one. Okay. They don't even, and then usually, so 50% are on automation before, after 3 months. Mm-hmm. So there's a big shift also in terms of what hotels want to do now. I think they realize that. So the trust is, what I'm trying to say here is that we are you need to build that trust, just like the autonomous cars, right? You wouldn't, maybe you wouldn't pop into the first autonomous car and say, I'll take me somewhere. But you want some proof points. You want to read up on it.
Once you see a few out there and not so many crashes with them or whatever. Exactly. You gain that confidence.
Yeah, so you need to build that trust. But I think we as an industry are doing that. I mean, we're doing it for every day, for every time we can tell the world that here's another one, and so on. We just need to make sure that our clients tell the world, because that's very important. Mm.
And sometimes, rather than not just telling, but sometimes showing is quite a useful thing. So we said there'd be a part of this conversation would be actually looking at your solutions. So maybe let's use this opportunity now that we've kind of spoken about what price optimization is and hopefully given an idea as to why people should be thinking about it. Let's have a look. And again, for the purpose of this, obviously you guys are on here. We're talking about the Atomize solution. I think just generally, the overall message is to hoteliers, look, you have to choose who you want to use as the provider, but for goodness sake, you know, just embrace, engage with technology. It doesn't have to be Atomize. You guys would obviously like it if it is. But let's take a moment and kind of do a bit of screen sharing, and let's have a look at your solution and touch on some of the points that we've looked at. Okay, brilliant. Okay, we can see that. Superb. Okay, can we just, before we get into looking at this, because I can already see we've got data here up on the system, we've got pricing, we've got recommendations. Is this sort of mocked up data for the purpose of when you do demonstrations, or where are you pulling this through from?
So this is this is actually real data from one of our clients, but we cloaked the hotel, so you can't figure out which hotel it is. But it's actually real time data, and so it's real.
Okay, so sure. Here we are, Swedish krona, SEK. Yep. So. No, that's fine. So I in essence could be the general manager of this live hotel. And so what we're going to look at here are, and we've landed straight onto your most urgent changes. So if I just kind of try and join some dots here, when we were talking before about optimizing our price at any given period, talk me through what most urgent changes is, because I see here there are 44 urgent price changes, and this is saying that there's over 367,000 krona of additional revenue available to me at some point in time if I accept these recommendations. Is that right? Talk me through it. You do it.
Yeah, absolutely correct. It's like a cash machine. So every time you hit that, you get that money. So our clients love to hit that. Kidding aside, but you're absolutely correct. So what we're looking at right now, we have dived straight into this particular page in the platform, where we are pinpointing the most urgent changes. Because if we link this to what we talked about previously, mm-hmm. it's not possible for the human eye or human brain to absorb all the data. So what the system is doing here is that it's looking 1 year ahead,
yep,
all arrival dates, and then it's sorting that data. And here we're presenting to our clients, to this client, what is the most important sort of revenue opportunity you have at hand right now.
Okay.
With that said, that means that we are presenting them by arrival date in that order.
Mm-hmm.
This is on based on sorted by revenue opportunity, meaning, in other words, that right now for this hotel, June 11th,
yep,
which happens to be a Saturday, is the most important right okay. now. Looking 1 year ahead, that's the most important date where you should take action on changing the rates.
Mm-hmm.
But this is, I have to just to stress as well, this is if you're not an autopilot. So sure. I will show you autopilot afterwards. But so this is also to describe that I want to tell that, I mean, you can be full control. If you're not an autopilot, if you don't want to be there, even if you are in full control, then as well, I will show you. But then you can, if you don't do anything here, nothing will happen, right?
Okay.
You need to hit buttons here to for things to happen.
So when we were talking about that control element, which is one of the last bits we were talking about, and that fear of being out of control, I mean, you could have this solution. It could be telling me I've got potentially 367,000 krona that I could gain in additional revenue, possibly. I don't have to do anything. I could just not accept those recommendations. Yeah, and just
Or you can cherry pick. You can cherry pick.
Right,
single ones of these, right, and so on.
Okay.
Or you can accept all of these for just this date, or all of these 44 in once. So if I accept all of these, for instance,
yeah,
we push these now. So now we had for all these room types, we pushed these prices. These prices were blue before,
yeah,
which blue indicates that it's impending or price recommendation, and they just moved, becoming green. I mean, now they're set. You're done.
Gotcha.
For this right now. And then if we go down to the next one, you can now, okay, then you can also see here that the second most important date is May 21st,
right,
which happens to be Saturday as well, Saturday as well, just like up here, right?
Yep.
In this case, we want to, it's not big adjustments, but slightly lower the price somewhat.
Yep.
And here you can just share a pick if you want to, at certain price points, or accept them all. But then, if you have any kind of doubt that you want to figure out sort of what's going on here, and you want to pick a certain price recommendation,
mm-hmm,
let's say for this, May 24th, it's a Tuesday.
Yep.
There's a price recommendation to lower the price, and you're like, what is going on here? I want to figure out what's going on here. Why do you want to do that?
Yep.
I don't want to hit accept. Then you easily can hit this, expand this cloud suite now for May 24th. So now we're just looking at the cloud suite. You get all underlying data for this price recommendation. So in this case, there are 51 rooms left of this specific room type for this arrival date. And we're recommending them to lower the rate from this to this.
Yep.
And we will validate if this makes sense soon. By lowering the rate to this, it would trigger, obviously, an increase in occupancy.
Mm-hmm.
So from 76.1% to this, 84.2%. But this is not what we're trying to optimize, right? We're trying to optimize revenue in this case. So, but this combination with lower price and higher occupancy will actually trigger an increase in RevPAR, revenue per available room.
Yeah.
So rather than having this revenue for the remaining rooms, you will actually get this RevPAR for the remaining sold rooms. And in actual revenue numbers, which is, in essence, I mean, end of the day, that is what matters, right?
Yeah.
Is that you will, rather than having this for the remaining rooms, you will have this revenue. And then you can start validating if, well, I have still have my question, right? I don't know. Does it make sense? Then you can start looking at this. Starting looking at the comp set. So this, is there is reason for lowering the rate to start with? Yeah. So the current price, $25.90. It's you're absolutely the most expensive of the comp set.
Mm-hmm.
And that in combination with the current performance is indicating that we can do more here. There is more demand pockets, most likely, because we come into that further down here.
Yeah.
But so this is giving me already an indication, okay, I'm in the most expensive one. But even if after we have lowered it, you are the second most important expensive in the composite, right? Because mm-hmm. we will squeeze in between Cape Wind and Eastpool. All right, so there is something in here, but then just continue then. And then we have the what we call the price sensitivity chart, or we calculate the price sensitivity for this room type in particular. So a lot of things are going on here, but on the x-axis, you have the price of the room. And on the left-hand y-axis, you have revenue figures in blue mm-hmm. figures. And on the right-hand y-axis, you have occupancy, from 0 to 100%. Which is represented by the gray line, which means the lower the price, the higher the occupancy. We follow mm-hmm. this mm-hmm. as we model it like this. And then we have revenue as a function of price on the blue line.
Gotcha.
So there are two dots, a thin dot and a bold dot. Okay. The thin dot is the current price. So this would be 25.90. And then you start realizing, I want to be on top of the blue line, right? Because that's revenue, which happens to be the optimal price point right now in real time, which happens to be the 22.90. So this is sort of a very easy way to explain. We can see also, but where this is the optimal price point, what happens if we would lower the price even more? Well, then, the occupancy would continue to be raised here, right? Mm-hmm. But revenue is starting to take a hit. So this is the optimal price point. It shouldn't go lower.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be higher either right now.
Understood.
And then there are tons of other things here, data, and you can go into as well.
As you say, there is a whole heap behind this. I think the reason why we wanted to land straight on the revenue opportunities is, I guess, one of the questions that anyone is going to pose is, okay, people talk about it in terms of cost. We would like to change the terminology that it's an investment, but let's stick with the fact that people look at it as a cost. So there is a cost to having this solution in their mind. And instantly, the moment we opened that up, I could see that there was a chance for me to be generating a few hundred thousand additional krona on a particular given date at any particular period of time. Didn't mean I had to accept it, and I could have just accepted some of them,
or you can override it,
right? Okay, and just put a different value in.
Yeah,
but instantly I can see that it's recommending that there is potential revenue that I could be leaving on the table, which I wouldn't know unless I had invested in some type of pricing solution. I think that was the first bit we wanted to drive back home, that message that if you really want to optimize and look forward, you've got to have something that is pulling together additional data from those pillars, pulling that together, working out recommendations, and then converting that into some sort of actual monetary revenue value. And then you can decide what you want to do or don't want to do with it. Now, you also mentioned 50% of your hotels very quickly or within a number of months shift to an automated model. So I guess if they were doing it manually like this and accepting, and then found that the revenue was coming in, and then decided, okay, I've gone from accepting them individually to now I'm accepting them all, then there probably becomes a moment where they think, why am I doing that? If I'm confident because I'm accepting it all, I could just move over to an automated solution. Is that kind of how that you see that thought process evolve?
Yeah, because what happens inside a hotelier's mind when they're starting doing this is that they quickly go from a state where they used to, before they started using Atomize, they looked at their hotel's different seasons, like low season, mm-hmm. high season, you know, but then they're starting to realize that there are micro seasons for my hotel.
Yeah.
And those micro seasons is within hours, sometimes within minutes of the day, which means that when they start accepting, you know, price recommendations like this, they realize sometimes, oh, I was too late. I should have clicked 5 minutes ago. And then they started to Alex or they asking us, can we somehow automate this? And then so it comes very natural usually. So if I switch to a hotel here that has automation, mm-hmm. In this case, then you can see here that it looks very similar, but just same screen. But then you have what has been processed, or so it goes. You can just look at it on an overview page like this.
Yeah,
and you see the icons here with autopilot active, and you don't need to do anything. But you can, if you want to, you can easily dive in, and you can still override and put enter whatever value you'd like. So you're still in control, right?
I've got you.
And then there are those that are a little bit, I want to be in control near term, but I want to automate everything beyond a certain arrival date. And that's very important as well, that hybrid controls. So we have the ability to also respond to that. So for instance, you can disable autopilot for whatever period you'd like.
If you wanted to control, say that the next 30 days coming up, you wanted to be happy to let the auto be adjusting later
beyond
on
a certain arrival date.
Yeah,
always.
Because in a couple of months' time, that 30 days is going to arrive, and I'll be able to have that control back if I need to add that permanent. But I'm not going to miss that opportunity.
Exactly. So this window, whatever you put here, you push that in front of you all the time, right? So always tomorrow is another 7 days and so on. But then what it means that, as we said early on as well, the human brain can't, you can't consume what's happening 9 months out, right? Yeah. And then maybe you just want to focus on the next 7 days and do the price recommendations, but everything beyond 7 days into the future, you want an autopilot. Then we have that ability as well to schedule it.
And if I know that, say, maybe not within a 30 or 90 day, but let's say I know that there's maybe a particular event coming up at a period of time, and I'm not necessarily sure I want autopilot to be adjusting around that, I still want a little bit of control at the moment. Is there a way where I could kind of ring fence that period, or if I know there's a conference coming, and maybe it might be 6-7 months out or something, but I want to keep an eye on that. Am I able to do that, or am I only working?
You can obviously agree and control by setting today. You can define the prices. You can do bulk uploads and so on within Atomize. You can pick whatever those dates, whatever those are.
Yeah.
And you can easily then simply define those and override or.
I'm with you. And if I wanted to exempt a fixed period of time, am I able to do that? If it's not just 7:30 or 90 days? Yeah.
But here you can then filter out the full. So if you want to focus on, for instance, Saturdays or Fridays during a certain time period, you can sort that out quickly as well. Okay. So it's very easy to work with this. And now we're sorting out Fridays and Saturdays in this window. And you can easily work with these rates if you want to do what you said, ring fence a certain time frame, sort of, if you want to.
Yeah.
In addition to that, we have the possibility, as we mentioned earlier as well, where you can see indications up here, where you have the forward-looking data. So here you quickly can, through the calendar view, pinpoint. So now we're looking at May, and you quickly can see here by now that we have increased search pressure data from the OTAs on the 4th and 5th of May.
Yeah.
Already now coming up. Yeah. So this is giving an indication that even if you haven't got one single reservation coming in, since this is real time data, we can see now there is activity. So if you're not if you're an autopilot, then you will capture that.
Yep.
When they're starting to come in, those reservations. But if you're not an autopilot, you might miss this, if this demand burst here or search burst converts into reservations.
No, that makes sense. Could you just flick across, because I'm conscious of your time as well, and this is kind of a high level, because if anyone wants a real deep dive into this, then make sure that they can reach out and connect with you. Can you just kind of click on the overview and show us the kind of some of the broader parameters that are going on if someone that dashboard, there we go. Discussion through that
very briefly. So this is a classical dashboard, but we also provide this on a multi-property real-time KPIs. So which means that we can operate those, provide KPIs for a hotel group regardless if it's two hotels or 1,000 hotels.
Gotcha.
And then you get the KPIs in real time. And the cool thing here is that you can even get this on your mobile phone, even if you have, even if you were a core, right, with thousands of hotels, you could do that on a mobile phone and get that in real time. And then you can segment your portfolio. So let's say that you have by brand or region. So you can segment, let's say that we want to have Peak District is representing, I don't know what can be New York. I hit that. Now get the set of hotels that are in New York, for instance, or in this case, Peak District, the KPIs in real time, or a certain properties and so on. So that's pretty brutal to do. And then you easily can then navigate down to a certain hotel and we get the RevPAR, occupancy in real time, and also data-driven forecasts for RevPAR, occupancy, revenue down by single digits, and ADR, and so on. And also the comp set data is showing up here as well, so on this level, on the property level. So we, I mean, this is very important also when you do precision pricing, is that we need to be fetishists when, almost, when it comes to data. So we can't cut corners. So here we are indicating if the competitor rates that we are fetching, if they do include breakfast, if the rate is refundable or not, and if it is, includes VAT or not, and so on, by room type. So for every room type. So it's it gives a nice overview, and you're able to pick up the chart and also and so on. No, so it gives a very nice, we worked with many clients together with them to develop this, and it's appreciated. But I think what you said, Trevor, early on, I mean, the essence, I mean, what you want to get down to, it really is the most urgent, where can I gain the most revenue right now? And it's not on the dashboard, it's where we started this demo.
That makes sense. Oh, that's brilliant. Thanks, Alexander, for taking us through that. I think what struck me is obviously just landing on that first page, seeing all those days with recommendations of additional revenue. So if I'm sitting there and thinking, am I going to get a return on the investment? I'm hopefully seeing that in black and white. I can then decide if I want to click or not click. So I still have that control element. I can then start to see if by saying yes, I'm starting to get that additional revenue come through. So it's backing up what the recommendations are saying. I wouldn't be as rude as to ask you what a solution would cost, because I know it can vary from property to property and what features they may want. But typically, you guys obviously deliver a return on investment. Otherwise, you wouldn't keep bringing new customers and retaining hotels on board. Are you happy to share what a kind of an ROI figure is from what you're seeing?
Yeah, absolutely. But I think it's, I mean, when I get this, I think the biggest cost to start with is for hotel is not to use RMS. Yeah. That's the biggest cost. So it's not about what cost will I, what is the cost of a software? Because the biggest cost is not to jump on RMS for sure. And but if we talk about ROI, because I think that's the most relevant way to look at it, is that we can clearly see that you have approximately a ratio of 1 to 20, which means that for every dollar or euro you invest, the cost of Hotmart, you get 20 in return, which I think is quite a nice ratio. So it's a no-brainer. I mean, we see this every day, so it's a no-brainer. If it's Atomize or someone else, some other vendor, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you guys want them to choose Atomize, but I think, as we said at the beginning, the purpose of this conversation is really just to say, guys, you know, hoteliers, you are leaving revenue on the table if you are not optimizing. So. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. As you say, the biggest cost is that revenue is going somewhere else. Yeah. That's the biggest cost.
Exactly.
So at least, you know, if nothing else, if all this conversation does is get them to think differently, that there is a solution out there. And more importantly, I think if there is the concern, I mean, you can't deal with the implementation piece depending on what PMS they have until they, you know, unless they have the right type that you can integrate with, or they're investing in changing it. But that concern back to our automated car and looking at it in terms of what level of control do I have, Well, we could clearly see you don't have to go onto autopilot straight off. You can pick and choose. You could try a few. You can see if what's being forecasted, what's being predicted, actually starts to come through. And I mean, automatically, then it is starting to pay for itself. Right off the bat, you're instantly getting that return on investment.
Yeah, exactly.
Any final comments from you guys?
I think you summarized it really nice. And I think the point here is also that it should be seen as an investment, not a cost. And just going from using no RMS to using an RMS, and especially that you have one that gives you the possibility to automate price recommendations, just going for that, I mean, that's a big step forward. Mm-hmm. So that's really what, I mean, speaking for us and our other tech vendors and partners in the industry, that's what we want hotels to embrace. I mean, that's the overall vision, right?
Yeah.
To increase adoption rate, because everyone benefits from that. The hoteliers benefit from that, the market, the customers benefits from that. It's a more, you know, it's a better priced market for all parties, basically. So, yeah,
that makes sense.
I think that's the overall conclusion.
Any final thoughts from your side, Alexander?
I think you concluded very nicely there, Alexandra. I think that we what the future will provide. I think that we, without saying too much, I think that might be so that reservation data or PMS data might be less relevant in the future. There are things. I mean, today in the world we live in today, there is plenty of data out there, and I think so that much. I mean, we'll leave that for the future. But
you're saying, watch this space, is what you're saying.
Yeah, watch this space.
the space that you're sitting in.
Yeah, exactly.
Brilliant. Well, look, thank you. I really appreciate. Excuse me. Really appreciate you taking the time for joining us. Thanks so much for also showing us how your solution, a pricing optimization solution, works, what it can do for you, and hopefully anyone that is watching this and listening to this can see the value of it, see why it's worth the investment, and we'll make sure that obviously if they want to reach out and connect with you, they've got ways to do that. So thanks again for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much
for having us.
Take care.
Well, I hope that conversation was of interest, and thanks again to Alexander and Alexandra for joining us. If you have any thoughts or views on this discussion, please feel free to reach out. We value your input, and we're happy to follow up with our guests. Also, if there are any topics that particularly interest you, or if there are any specific guests you would like to hear from, please do let us know. You can reach us via our social channels, or you can email us via insights@revenue-hub.com. If you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. And if you want to see the interview and demo, you can find it on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel, and the link is in the podcast notes. And if you do watch it on YouTube, it would be great if you could give it a thumbs up or even subscribe. It really helps out the channel. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.